shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
They do have side effects, and if you're really taking them
say, can you...
A lot of those people have been fed misinformation
this
about our
bill is about making sure...
What the hell are you talking about?
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go through the looking glass and beyond to take you places other talk shows can't take you, wouldn't be able to take you in a million years, and they know it. And anyway, somebody's got to do it, so here we are, and we're very happy to be with you on Phil TV as well in HD, high definition. Right now, if you're looking at Phil TV, you're looking at a picture of... the Gaslight District in San Diego. And let me give you so you can see my handsome mug. The Gaslight District in San Diego, Gas Lamp District in San Diego at 5th and Market. So if you're down there and you want to throw up a sign with Ted Bell's, Ted Bell slogan, go ahead and do that. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And our affiliate spotlight tonight, KPRC in Houston at 950 a.m. And in Burlington, Vermont, WEAV 960 a.m., two of our great affiliates on the Phil Hendry Show radio network. And again, our website, philhendryshow.com, with our high-definition streaming video of our radio show tonight, as well as what I was just telling you. That's 5th and Market, San Diego, the Gas Lamp District. We're just using one of their...
it's like a cam or something, right?
Just one of their cams, yeah, in the corner. We're going to bring on this evening a gentleman that we've never talked to before, and we are grateful for the opportunity to do that. His name... if I'm getting this correctly, Ha-Pi Wei. He is a member of an organization called Trade 3000. It's a Chinese-American trade tank. Ha-Pin Wei is his name, excuse me. And Mr. Wei is, I should say, Mr. Ha is with us in San Diego tonight. And before we bring him up on the line, I wanted to make it clear that the last name, well, maybe I should bring Mr. Hui up on the line here so we can get a better idea, because I don't think that I'm explaining this very, very well here. Sir, is your last name, the last name is generally said first in Chinese, is that correct?
Yeah, the first name of an individual is the last name that you would pronounce. So my name is Ha-Pin Wei.
Okay, so your first name is Hui.
That is correct, yes.
Well, thank you, sir, for being with us, and I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
We want to talk with you about this student, this UCLA student, and the racist online rant that she posted on YouTube, and she is saying today that she is going to quit school because she has fears for her safety. Now, in a moment, we'll give you and the audience a refresher. I'm sure that you probably heard enough of it, sir, of what this woman was saying online. But do you have any comments about the fact that she's going to quit school? I know that what she said was really ignorant and not particularly funny. And I suppose the only people that really enjoyed it would be people of like mentality. But do you have any comments of the fact that the woman has been threatened?
Well, this is very unfortunate. This young lady is forced to withdraw from classes at UCLA because we are in China and your country as well support education. But this is a example of what can happen when we are insensitive to each other. You mentioned this organization that I belong to is Trade 3000. This is an organization that we call a trade tank instead of a think tank because we are able to interact with American business and come up with good ideas between the Chinese people and American people for business that benefit both of us. So there's no discord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There is no miscommunication, and there's certainly no hard feeling. What you ask me how I feel of this girl not being able to continue her teaching, her education, and I say that it is very sad. And we have to be responsible for our action. And she is most likely getting what she deserved, you know.
Now, you see, you're saying she's getting what she deserves. Now, look, I know that she was ignorant and stupid, and it's kind of like a kid calling somebody else a bad name, and even though she's not a kid, she's an adult woman going to college. But do you think that this woman should be chased from school, sir, because she fears for her safety?
Well, again, you know, the old saying, American saying, with that chicken coming home to roost. Now,
With the what?
With that chicken coming home to roost.
Chicken's coming home to roost, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm not to say that that is the right way to look at these things, but she is bearing, reaping the consequence of her action. Now, this young lady who made this video...
You said she's reaping the consequences of her actions?
Yes, sir.
All right, do you think those are fair consequences? That's the point. In this country...
Oh, yes, I do.
All right. I understand, you know, that we may have a different way of looking at speech. In this country, as stupid as we want to be, as ignorant as we want to be, we do have the right to say these things. Now, she's not been arrested. She has not been sued. She won't. There's no grounds to either sue or arrest her. And so we do have the freedom of speech in this country. For a woman to, or any person to, have to leave where they are because they're afraid for their safety because of speech.
Well, this was a man who said that he don't think black people...
No, this is different, though, sir. This is different.
No, it's not different. He went to lynch a black man, you know.
No. This is different. This is not a woman saying that she wants to lynch Chinese people. This was a woman saying that the accent was funny... that the family structure was funny.
If you said, or in your country, you say in your country, for instance, black people should be, you know, enslaved, or black people are so stupid they can't be, you know, a scientist or something, or a doctor or lawyer, you know, there'd be people very angry.
Yeah, but she didn't say anything like that, sir. What she said was more of an ignorant thing about how there's too many people there and too many family members.
Well, she said that Chinese people can't support themselves, that they must have a family.
All right, she did say that, and she also said that you talk too much in the library. I didn't hear hate so much as I heard asinine stereotyping. You know what I mean?
No, I don't, because coming from this woman, who is a blonde woman, you know, and...
She's a blonde woman, yes.
Yes, and there's a body of opinion in the United States about the blonde women, that they're bimbo, this and stupid, that they're loose sexually, and this woman that made the comment about Chinese is this kind of person. So, what we wanted to say...
You're telling me that she's a blonde, the one that made these comments, and so she's what? She's loose sexually?
I'm saying that she has no right to make these comments about the Chinese people when she is what she is. But I'm not saying to you... What I'm not saying to you is she has deserved to be pushed from school, but there's nothing you can do. You know,
there's nothing you can do. Well, let's you know, let's get back to the comment you just made there. She's a blonde woman, so she is what she is. Now, if I said that about the Chinese, what would you say?
I would say the Chinese is what they are, who they are. They are great people. They are smart people. They are ancient people. They're long-standing people in the human community and our country and our government and our society has withstood so much, and the people, the Chinese people have withstood so much down through many centuries. And the Chinese people have been responsible for a great invention. And
all right, so not to interrupt you, sir, but you'd have a great many glowing and marvelous things to say about the Chinese people, as well you should, as well you should.
Yes.
All right. Now we take a blonde woman in college, a blonde American woman in college. What would you say about her?
And I would say about her that she is in college, she has a great opportunity, but she has a handicap, a deficiency to overcome. She is a looked on as a blonde, a dumb blonde, you know.
Well, she may be looked on as a dumb blonde.
Well, no. She's looked on as a dumb blonde or a bimbo or whatever word you want to use. She's a sexually loose. She's a loose woman. And she is not the most intelligent person. That's what I say of her.
So you got nothing good to say about her, this woman, this blonde woman who was making these comments, but the Chinese people glowing things.
Well, of course, you asked me a general question.
You know what? You're right. You're right. That was probably a very... But what I'm trying to do here is get a sense of the fairness here, because, again, you're saying, and you're right, that she should not have said what she said. I'm trying to find out why it is we have to see a woman driven from the university that she's attending because she said these things. I'm wondering if there's any support from you and the Chinese businessmen that you represent.
It's interesting, Phil, to talk about if we support the woman, this blonde woman. We have in China hold American debt, and we hold a lot of American debt that we have the ability in China to upset American economy. I would think, and we work toward helping each other. China help America, America help China, and never let this woman like this or these people like this, this stupid bimbo, what you want to call her.
You just called her a stupid bimbo. That's what I'm talking about.
No, I didn't. Don't tell the people.
No, you just said this stupid bimbo.
But in this case, she is. In this case, the woman is a racist and a bimbo. And in the video, she was shown with a dress that was a low cut. So sexually or morally, she is most likely promiscuous.
You're coming up with all of these conclusions, sir. Based upon what you saw in the video, I'm not saying she's the brightest bulb in a tree, you know, but I'm just saying, you're saying drive her out of college, and I'm saying, why? You know, especially in a society...
In America, you treat the people much more kindly than in China. It's not going to happen. In China, we're not going to let someone like that in school.
I don't doubt that, sir, and I don't want to get into a whole debate about Chinese society, because I don't think you guys have come out on the good end of that, you know?
Well, I don't think, I'm not afraid of China, for you to make fun of China.
I'm not making fun of China. I'm telling you that I don't want to get into a discussion of American society and Chinese society. I'm simply asking your opinion. So you're saying that this woman, based upon the fact that she's blonde, she's a bimbo, she's sexually loose, she's all of these stereotypes, you don't care that she's getting driven out of UCLA for her Chinese tape.
No, I don't know what to listen to this woman... make fun of the Chinese people, and then I'm going to extend myself to help her stay in the school? No. Especially a blonde, what we understand of the blonde, with the loose morals. And
all right, well, the loose morals, and that, again, that's a stereotype of blondes. Loose morals, sexually loose, bimbo, stupid. So her name is Alexandra Wallace from UCLA. She's leaving UCLA out of fears for her safety because of the tape that she made about Asians. And I haven't even played any of the audio. So when we come back, we'll do that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Your calls for our guest, Ha-Pin Wei, who is a member of Trade 3000, a trade group, a trade tank, not a think tank, a trade tank, that involves both Chinese and American business people. 877-876-PHIL. And coming up next hour, Professor Don Mixa with us. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're happy to have with us Mr. Ha-Pin Wei. He is a Chinese businessman living here in the United States and in San Diego, as a matter of fact, sir. And we have our video camera on the gas lamp district. Have you been there?
We went to dinner this evening, and saw a great video of San Diego, and very beautiful city.
It is. It's a great city. All right, sir, so I want to give you an idea of what this young woman said. I'm sure you've heard it, but I want to give my audience just, you know, back up to speed on this. In her YouTube rant, Alexandra Wallace mocks Asians who use their cell phones while in the library.
In America, we do not talk on our cell phones in the library. Every 5 minutes, I will be, okay, not 5 minutes, say like 15 minutes. I'll be like deep into my studying, into my political science theories and arguments and all that stuff, getting it all down, like typing away furiously, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, when I'm about to like reach an epiphany, over here from somewhere, oh, Jing Chong Ling Long Ting Tong. Oh, are you freaking kidding me? In the middle of finals week.
All right, so I agree with you, sir. All right.
Yeah, you understand the attitude of the Chinese? We listen to a blonde bimbo. You know.
Well, why use the word blonde bimbo, though, sir? Because she's being stupid. Okay.
I use the word blonde bimbo because I don't know if she understands that of all the people in America to have to make an insulting remark about Chinese people, of all the people in America, she is the bottom of the rung, you know, the lowest of the totem pole, to do that.
But you're saying that based upon a stereotype of her being a blonde bimbo.
Based on a stereotype of her being a blonde bimbo, yes, but also she is a stupid woman. Wearing a dress, she looks like a whore.
All right, well, now what you're doing is you're basing your opinion of the woman on how she looks. So,
of course, but there's a choice she makes to wear a dress like that.
All right, our number is 8. Yeah, she made a choice to wear a dress like that. Just remember, she didn't say kill Chinese. She didn't say move them out of their houses. She didn't say burn down their houses. What she did say was, the Chinese are loud on their cell phones, and now she's losing her position at the university. She's leaving because she's afraid. Here is Chris in St. George, Utah. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing, Phil?
Fine.
I just wanted to call because I feel, as far as freedom of speech goes, it's a sad thing when in a college where normally in America we consider that the most free place to use that freedom of speech, and then also to use YouTube, which is, you know, another free speech place that a person could be driven from a college for. That it just seems to me that it's absurd. Granted, she was wrong.
So you don't have any comment. You don't have any comment on what it was she was saying, huh?
Well, she doesn't want to say, but she's saying she's using her freedom of speech where. If this is what America uses freedom of speech for, it's not very smart.
Well, and I understand that what she said was wrong, and that, you know, I've spent some time over in China and over in the...
Where were you?
I went over to Hong Kong, and then I was also over in...
Well, that's not really China, is it?
Hong Kong is England, you know.
Where were you? Where were you?
And then I also went over to Taiwan, so the Republic of China.
So you weren't really in China. Yeah, you weren't really in China.
Not in mainland China, but did get to deal with some Chinese people. So I understand, like, how disrespectful it was.
All right, so can we get to the... so what is your point then, sir?
Yeah, I'm going to make a point here.
My point is
that with the Chinese people have never spoken like this, and to have an American woman who apparently... I have no manners. I have no, no manners, no way of being intelligent about the comment of Chinese people. No way is this woman at all educated about China. No way is she, and she says that she'll take classes of what the, I forget what it was.
I think she's taking law classes.
Taking law classes. I don't know what they teach in American schools, but I can tell you that this is a far cry from what we show in China, and we'll never allow anyone to talk that way.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. You wouldn't allow anybody to talk anyway, sir. I mean, to be honest with you, in China, they don't allow you to say anything. 877-876-7445 here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots, taking it, marching it, moving it into the future. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the line with me from San Diego, California this evening is Mr. Hu Pin Hui, who is with the group called Trade 3000. A trade tank, a think tank for trade. Now, the woman in China, the woman at UCLA is who we're talking about. If you heard this rant she went on YouTube, talking about the Chinese people as being this, that, and something else. You know, they're talking too loud in the library on their phones. There's so many members of their family. They come over and help them do their laundry. Here is another example of this woman's screed.
These hordes of Asian people that UCLA accepts into our school every single year, which is fine. But if you're going to come to UCLA, then use American manners.
Okay, again, Mr. Hu Pin Hui, what do you think of that comment?
Well, I think of all what comments? The
one she just made.
It's stupid. A stupid comment from a stupid woman. And we see an awful lot of this from American. I don't know why this is. It seems to me that this country, America, is raising children worse and worse, you know. Worse and worse, their children's manners.
You're saying that our children are raised worse and worse?
Their manners, yes. And this is not the good manner. You're not going to hear Chinese people talk this way about the American.
Let me remind you something, sir. During the Olympics, Americans were in Beijing for the Olympics, and at least one American citizen that I know of was assaulted and murdered.
No, it's a gangster. We're not talking about a gangster. Every society has these gangster people. These are criminals, you know.
All right, but I mean, just so you know that when you say the Chinese aren't going to do this or that,
I'm not talking about a gangster. I'm talking about the manners of people, you know. But we have so much of American debt, you'd think that America would talk more polite, because it's a small step, you know, to shut down a Chinese restaurant, no fortune cookies, all that ridiculous, as stupid as it sounds. That's what Americans seem to like about the Chinese. So good, we had to take that away.
Well, I don't know how you get together with Chinese business people. On the one hand, you want to improve trade. On the other hand, you want to shut down all the Chinese restaurants. 877-876-PHIL. Yolanda in Worcester, Massachusetts. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Yolanda, go ahead.
Yes. You know what? It was very ignorant, the remarks that the young lady made. All of the things that she said was awful. But you know what? There is a freedom of speech, and I also feel that it's extreme measures to have her kicked out of UCLA. I think that she should be reprimanded for what she said. She should be punished for what she said. But kicked out of school, no. That's way too far. And I think that the gentleman speaking is stooping down to her level by calling her out of her name, calling her all of the names that he's calling her, and also stereotyping blonde-headed women. That's wrong. And I think
what
she
about
needs
that?
To
that
recognize
is a stereotype. That is a stereotype.
No, not a stereotype of what?
The blonde. You called her a blonde-headed bimbo.
But she's proving the point. That woman had proved that these blonde women in America, I don't know why, a lot of them bleach their hair blonde.
But so you're saying that all blonde women are bimbos and hoes. That's wrong. That's a stereotype.
No. I'm saying if you're a woman and you were born with, dark hair and you bleach your hair, then you're a slut. Because what you've done is...
What did you call her a slut?
A bimbo, you know.
Because she bleached her hair.
Why did they bleach their hair? Because of a fantasy they have, a sex fantasy, to be a Marilyn Monroe or something like this. So
If I wear a mini skirt, then that means that I'm a loose? No, that's not true.
No, I did not say that. But if you bleach your hair blonde and wear your dress so people can see the nipples, you know.
No one wears a dress like that in America. We have a modesty that at least prohibits us from doing that.
No. I've seen this in America all the time, of women showing their backside and their breasts.
Well, no, you have not, sir. And if you do, then you are seeing something that violates the law. I just want to go along with what the caller's saying. If you don't like the stereotyping of the Chinese people as this, that, or something else, don't take American women and...
No, I didn't say American women. I said that women who bleaches their hair blonde.
So women that bleach their hair blonde are bimbos.
Yes, sir. Yeah. That, you're not going to find that in China.
All right. Thank you very much, Yolanda, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I'm not going to find what in China? I'm not going to find women?
You never see women bleach their hair in China? You never see a woman bleach her hair in China? Because women know that bleaching your hair blonde is a surrender to this dumb way, you know, to be. And
You have some ideas about the American people, sir, that are as extreme and stereotypical as what that young lady was talking about. You know, first of all, she was saying that they're ching chong ching. She was doing all that stuff with the language. Okay. Then she was talking about all their relatives. Then she was talking about, you know, talking too loud. You got it in your head that blonde women, all right.
What we're saying if they are.
No, hold on for a minute. You got it in your head that blonde women are automatically bimbos or sluts or something like that. Now, the other thing I want to address here is this idea that China holds a lot of America's debt. And therefore, if we are somehow prone to these kinds of outbursts on YouTube, you guys are going to somehow dump it?
No. I'm saying, why would you go on YouTube and say what you say when you know that China has such a pivotal role to play in the future of your country? Why would you go on YouTube and do this? Why would you?
Well, she's not the President of the United States.
But she's an American citizen, right?
Yes.
Then look at how stupid she is to go on YouTube and threaten the future of America and China relations by going on this YouTube and talking about the Ching Chong, and she's trying to be a comedian. Well, let me say, you want to laugh about something, laugh about this, that we hold much of America debt, and you want to do YouTube and go Ching Chong, Ching Wong, we dump the debt.
And you're not going to dump the debt. Chinese government is going to dump the debt because one stupid woman is on YouTube.
No, but if you piss us off enough, if you use a word you use a lot, if you piss us off...
If we... sir, Mr. Hu, right?
Hu Pinwei, yes.
Okay. I'm not trying to piss you off. Nobody in a responsible position in this country is trying to piss anybody off. Any more than anybody in China would be trying to piss America off, you know?
Well, Chinese don't care. We piss you off because you think I care if I piss you off of a bimbo, huh?
I don't know what your purpose is. It sounds to me like you're trying to get something started, you know.
Hey, you know, whatever's good.
Well, let me tell you what's good, okay?
Yeah.
Here's what's good. Number one, you know, she's an idiot. She said what she said. Number two, if you want to start threatening this country with dumping the debt, and I think you also mentioned something about a boycott of businesses, then all you're doing is making the situation worse, all right?
I didn't say boycott of business. I said close down Chinese food, Chinese grocery, because of all of the takeout places in America. There is, think of only two Mexican food, but number one Chinese. Now, that is a big part of the American economy, a Chinese takeout joint, right?
Okay.
You shut those down. And you got a big chunk of the economy.
Well, how are you going to shut down these Chinese restaurants?
You contact the business owner. You talk to a business owner. You talk to a man. Make a fortune cookie, which sounds like a stereotype, but is a number one piece of business for people at Chinese restaurants. So all of a sudden, you find yourself. You make a joke about the Chinese people. We shut down Chinese food restaurants, now it's not so funny.
Well, I don't think, I honestly don't think, shutting down Chinese restaurants is going to cause the United States any kind of a head, you know, a change of perception toward, if we've got idiots, we're always going to have idiots. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Donna in Tallahassee on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a very ignorant thing to say, you know.
Yes, it is.
To say that we're going to...
Yes,
go ahead, Donna.
That's
a
really, really ignorant thing to say. Because I
talking
am a rich one, and I am not a bimbo. Okay, I hold down a steady job.
Why'd you bleed?
I work for a city
council. Would you beat your head?
Tallahassee, Florida.
Would you beat your head?
And I do resent the fact that you're calling me a bimbo.
Why'd you bleach your hair? That's all.
I mean,
what
on top of that? Was you?
Why'd you bleach your hair?
Was you tortured by a blonde when you was a child, or what?
No, but I will tell you that this blonde woman on YouTube.
Well, I have never been on YouTube
Well, this bimbo was on YouTube. That bimbo was on YouTube, and she's talking about China people.
Okay.
She's blonde.
Do you have a mother? Do you have a mother and a sister? You don't talk about women, period.
Hold on.
A woman gave birth to you. Whether she was a blonde or a brunette, I don't know. But still, you have to
respect them. No blonde gave birth to me. A brunette gave birth to me. A brunette. But...
Well, you know what? I'm going to talk to you. You have a nice night. Bye.
Yeah, you too.
See you later, Donna. Thank you. I mean, I don't think that you're going to find, sir, if you're bagging on blondes.
No, I said if she bleach blonde, bleach, I said then you're talking about someone with a suspect morality. I did not say blonde, you born a blonde, and the old saying about the curtain and the drape, you know?
What about the curtains and the drapes?
If they don't match, you know? But,
you know, for a guy that has got a real problem with American culture, you know all kinds of idioms, the curtain and the drapes, and pissed me off, and...
What are you saying?
What I'm saying is the same thing I said at the beginning of the show, all right? Freedom of speech is sacrosanct. I didn't hear anything so hateful in what that woman said that it was really going to be... it wasn't threatening to anybody who was Chinese. She sounded like an idiot. If you left well enough alone... it wouldn't have had any impact at all, because she sounded like a stupid idiot. But instead, what you guys do, not you necessarily, but...
Oh, here we go, you people, huh?
No, I didn't say you people.
Yeah, you people get all pissed off. You don't like what I say.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that... I didn't say you people. I just said what happens is people make a big thing out of this jackass, and now she's being threatened. People are going to be feeling sorry for her. And when it comes to free speech, there isn't anything in my life that is more important. The only thing that, like I said, that I would be talking about here is...
You know, Mr. Henry, you're doing a lot of talking. But not make no sense.
I'm not making any sense, huh? If she threatened someone or said that somebody ought to be lynched or someone should be this or that, then I totally agree. Not the dumbass stuff she did. And for you to threaten to shut down Chinese restaurants or to call blondes, bleach blondes, bimbos... 877-876-PHIL is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Next hour, we got Don Mixa with us. And we'll be back here, and don't forget our live streaming video in HD on philhenryshow.com.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And our final segment here with Mr. Hu Pinhui from the Trade 3000 Group, a trade tank or a trade think tank here in the United States. And you're originally from what city?
Nanjing.
From Nanjing. All right, sir, we've been talking about the girl at UCLA, Alexandra Wallace. She had the YouTube video that was very insulting and affronting to the Chinese people. I get it. It's bad. She's been drummed out of school now because of threats. And my position has been freedom of speech is taking a hit here because her speech was not a threatening speech. It was nothing that one would call virulently racist in so much as it's just kind of a dumb girl. But you're saying that she's typical.
Very typical of that kind of woman. And I don't want people to think I'm saying American women. I'm saying that kind of woman. She bleached her hair, and the hair is the. Why do you bleach your hair? You bleach your hair to look like a slut. You know the.
Well, you said to look like Marilyn. Why? What do you mean a slut?
Well, there's no other reason to bleach your hair. What other reason you have to bleach your hair?
You talking about anybody?
No, women. Why would women bleach their hair? Because they want to look.
They want to look glamorous. They think they look good. They think that. But I don't know, man. You know.
Well, when you say they want to look glamorous, there's only one thing they want. And they want to attract a man for eventually a sleep with him and get his money. That is a slut. And in China, you're not going to see. You know?
Oh, the hell, you're not going to see that in China.
Well, you don't see anybody bleaching their hair. Okay?
All right. You mentioned a headline here. What is the headline you wanted to read?
Here's the headline. Mom jailed after toddler gets drunk on Four Loko.
Mom jailed?
Mom jailed after toddler gets drunk on Four Loko. So here is a child, a baby, that a mother let a child drink Four Loko. This America. It never happened in China. Never. And so the least you can do is take this bimbo and kick her out. Here's another headline. Playgirl offering $10,000 for nude Anderson Cooper photo. That's embarrassing for your country.
I'm not offering Anderson Cooper $10,000, sir. It's a magazine. It's Playgirl. It's called Free Enterprise, you know?
Right, but it speaks to the culture of your country. More to the point, whether it's a bimbo or some kid with a cheap tint job, the other day...
What did you call that, a cheap tint job?
Yeah.
You got a lot of opinions about things that have nothing to do with this woman's transgressions here, you know?
No, but it all leads to this kind of stupid opinion. This cheap window tinting job by most of these young men who drive a Camaro shows a mentality that I don't think, it doesn't say Phi Beta Kappa. So
there's guys, if we have cheap, okay, if we've got cheap window tinting jobs in America, if we've got women that are bleaching their hair blonde, if we have mothers who accidentally fed their kids Four Loko, or magazines offering Anderson Cooper $10,000 to pose nude, it's because in this country there is freedom of speech, freedom of action. But to take all of those things and say that those are examples of America's weakness...
Oh, they are examples of America's weakness, yes. And that's
you know, I can't tell you the number of people in history that have made the same mistake you're making right now, where they look at American culture and they take all of the excesses of American culture, they look at that's the American people, that's how they are, that's how they act, and then when a crisis hits or we are put under some pressure, we come through in ways that people cannot predict. I certainly do hope, sir, that... you know, we are able to form stronger bonds between our countries. I don't think calling blondes bimbos is the way to do it, any more than saying the Chinese say Ching Chao Huang Wei or any of that stuff.
Well, so you're doing that because you want to get a laugh. You know,
I'm doing what?
Ching Chao Huang Wei, all that stuff. I say when you talk like that, it's like saying...
All right, thank you very much.
You hung up on that guy? Why? Just because he said...
Shut up. Just because he said nothing. Mr. Hu, I think is his name.
Yeah, Hu Pinwei.
Right. From Trade 3000 on the controversy surrounding this Alexander Wallace. She's out of there, man. She's leaving. She's on her way to someplace else. She got scared off. She said she can't go to school at UCLA anymore because she's had threats, the nature of which I don't know, but obviously it doesn't make for a very good academic environment, no way. I better not play this stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to play it.
I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm done hearing this chick. Get her out of here. I mean, how often do you want to listen to that kind of dummy stuff? All right. Coming up next hour is Don Mixa, and he's going to be talking with us about President Obama, Libya, and perhaps a moratorium or a ceasefire on criticizing the president, with the United States looking at partaking in, at least, partaking in some kind of military activity there against Libya. It might be part of NATO or the UN with this no-fly zone. Who knows? So it'll be Professor Don Mixa next hour. And meanwhile, check out our live streaming video at philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com. We have Phil TV in HD on right now. And we've one of the videos that we're looking, or one of the cameras we're looking at right now, is at the corner there of 5th and Market in San Diego. I think we're going to change it, though.
Yeah, it's boring.
I'm going to get it over to some news here. All right, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We are examining all the implications of the legislation on the House floor today and are deeply concerned with the intent and impact it will have.
In all honesty,
we went through about a month to a month and a half supply in 2 days.
I swear, they're going through their whole families, just checking on everybody from the...
Burn in hell.
Calling me a wide hunk.
Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night here, man, we go places, other talk shows, man, they wouldn't dare. And if they knew half the story, they wouldn't dare. But anyway, good to be with you. And if you check us out at philhenryshow.com, you get live streaming HD video of the show right now, such as it is. What a night. All right, we're going to get on Don Mixa here in just a moment, and Don's going to be talking with us about the potential involvement of the United States in a no-fly zone over Libya. But first, philhenryshow.com is the strong right arm of the Phil Hendry Show. If you go over there, you get a backstage pass. That is your subscription to thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of the greatest radio show in the history of the world. I know I'm talking about our radio show, but I mean, would I lie? I mean, it is. And if you go over there with a backstage pass, you not only get all of that great archived audio, you get a podcast every day of this show that you can sign up for through our website. It's on iTunes. You can also listen to our classic podcasts, which are free. You can take part in our news feed, take a look at what we have to offer each and every day, and make comments on it. Although we've moved the comments section to page 2. That's to keep some of the douchebags at bay.
Yeah, I understand.
And a lot of things going on. So check us out over there. Plus, unlimited email response from me, your good buddy Phil. Check us out and our on-demand video of the show, 5-day video archive. A lot of stuff on demand at philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. Don Mixa is going to join us from the University of Washington in Seattle. And Don, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I think I'm doing a little bit better than you, Phil. Sorry to hear you had a tough guest that first hour, but, you know.
Well, you're a teacher. I mean, you have students.
Oh, yeah.
And have you ever had any of them, have you ever remarked to any of them about anything they've done on YouTube or?
Oh, we have students that are you know, outspoken, and, of course, they're young people are going to say what they want to say, so I think you have to be prepared for a lot of that, but fortunately for us, we're in the state of Washington, and we like to think that we've got a little bit more of a grip on things than that young lady did anyway.
All right. President Obama has made some very forceful statements concerning Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. He has stated that the ceasefire must be observed. He has stated that the United States, as well as other countries, NATO, UN troops, are going to take a very, very serious view, a very dim view of any attack by Gaddafi on civilians. He said basically he'll be facing military action. And you said in an article in the Seattle Times today, you said that this is a time to drop all of this opposition to President Obama, drop all of this opposition to the union fight, drop all of this opposition to all of these fights, and let's get in behind President Obama here and his stand on Libya. And I say to you, Don, and you probably could guess, it would have been nice had President Bush had the same kind of support.
Well, I mentioned to you before the program, Phil, I'm not even going to go there with you. I don't think this is the time or the place to start talking about President Bush. This is not, I don't think it is, I don't think that it is a ethical for us at this time for our country to be engaged in a personality contest between President Obama and President Bush. I'm saying that President Obama deserves our support right now, and the people that have attempted to make his life as difficult as possible, these individuals who have been campaigning anywhere from, against health care to the budget to funding for NPR to the union fight there in Wisconsin. I think the time has come for us to join together as a country because we're facing down possibly a dictator in Libya. And
no, he's a dictator. There's no possible dictator.
No, but what I mean is we're facing down we're possibly facing down a dictator in Libya if he does not comply with the ceasefire. So I don't think that we have time to get into any personality personality debates. Even though you have your marching there, I heard your marching sound effects. So your listeners, I mean, this is a pretty typical conservative thing to do. It's sort of a right wing thing to do.
Let's not get down to, oh, I'm a typical conservative, a typical right winger, and I got some marching. The marching signifies a movement of what we consider to be right thinking people into the future. You could call that right as in right wing or right as in correct. But the point I'm making here, and I don't know why you don't want to address it, is you want everyone to rally behind President Obama at this particular time with us facing the possibility, in concert with a lot of other countries, military action against Libya's Muammar Gaddafi. Why not President Bush at a time when he could have used that support?
I think I've already made it clear to you, Phil. I'm not at all interested in discussing, when you say President Bush, you're trying to get this to, you want to redeem the President Bush's reputation, or otherwise you want to make President Bush the focus.
No, I'm just asking you if President Bush were given the same consideration. Let's stop all of this stuff and let's give President Bush consideration and support for the war in Iraq.
I'm not going to. I came on your program with the agreement we talk about President Obama.
Understood, yes. But I'm just, you certainly recognize the fact that there are comparisons to be made historically.
I don't see the comparisons to be made historically. I don't know what it is you are getting at.
What I'm getting at is, I didn't know that I was being so difficult to understand. What I'm getting at here is the fact that President Obama, you're asking for him to be supported by the American people, correct?
I'm asking for President Obama to get the same support that any president gets when this country is about ready to either go to war or is ready.
What do you mean any president? I just brought up President Bush. Do you think he got lots of support before we went to war against Iraq?
I am not going to continually say to you.
Well, let me answer that for you. I think he got a fair amount of support, even though at the beginning of that war, there was an anti-war movement. At the beginning of that war, there were people who didn't want us to go to war. At the beginning of that war, there were people who were questioning his motives. And then it got worse and worse and worse and worse as the troops that had gone into Iraq were not able to locate weapons of mass destruction. So I don't think he got a pass. Why is it that President Obama is supposed to get a pass?
Right now, President Obama is facing, along with the countries of NATO, he is facing a long-time, 40-year standing dictator in Muammar Gaddafi, and he has to, in concert with the United Nations and in concert with the other countries that we're talking about, he's going to need to have a concerted effort, a focused effort. You know, I will tell you something, Phil. You've taken my mind completely off of what it was I wanted to say by constantly introducing Bush's name into this.
You know, I don't know why you don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about who?
About George Bush. About the fact that the thing you want...
Because I don't want to talk because it's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
You don't think that Bush has anything to do with you talking about Obama getting the support of the American people and the American Congress And you just let's talk about something here. You just mentioned to me that President Obama should get a more support, or at least should be allowed less pressure on the union fight in Wisconsin. What's that got to do with him?
The union fight in Wisconsin has everything to do with President Obama, because President Obama is a supporter of public unions and he doesn't want to bust those. And I think that if we support the union in Wisconsin, we support President Obama. But whether or not you do or you don't, the fact is that we have a moral obligation right now to give the president our support. If he needs to have a health care plan, even though that's been passed, but if he needs to have the NPR situation revolved, or the health care plan, or some of these other things, the immigration, we need to give the president, I think we got to give him the benefit of the doubt, because right now we're having a country like Libya attacking its own people, and we've got to come together in that. That's what I'm saying.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Don Mixa joining us here, professor of engineering at the University of Washington in Seattle, as we talk about President Barack Obama. And President Obama joining with other countries. Where are you, outside or something?
Actually, I'm standing out in the open area here. It's an area we're having coffee, which is near one of the main boulevards.
All right, well, maybe we can get you inside or something, because that's the most distracting noise I've ever heard in my life.
Apologies.
That's okay. We're talking with Don Mix. As a matter of fact, what we're going to do is take a break right now and be back. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. President Obama and the Libya action, and just exactly how much support we're supposed to give him as the country possibly heads toward a military intervention in concert with other nations. Don thinks, let's give it our all. And I'm simply asking him, why did we not pledge the same thing for President Bush? At a moment when the country really, when he could have really used the support, my God, we were ready to call him Hitler and everything else. 877-876-PHIL here on Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, The Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Don Mixa from the University of Washington, as we talk about President Obama joining the United States military in an effort with other countries to first stop a no-fly zone, or to impose a no-fly zone in Libya. And then perhaps, if the ceasefire is not observed, and I believe the last thing I read or heard was that it was being observed by Gaddafi's forces, then there is further military action that is taken. And Don Mixa joining us here from Washington. You believe the president is entitled to our support? I don't think you just blindly support any president.
Well, then why are you talking about Bush?
Well, I agreed with Bush. And if you're saying that we should support presidents, then I'm asking why we didn't support Bush.
We, you know, if you want to keep haranguing this, and you want to keep beating this into the ground, and you want to keep making a point of that we did support George Bush.
We supported George Bush, huh? We with Hitler posters, we supported George Bush. With anti-war protests, we supported George Bush.
I don't know what you're talking about with the Hitler. I've never been able to figure that one out.
I remember seeing them, and you can go online and Google it, and you can see pictures of Bush as Hitler. And there was every... You know who Cindy Sheehan is, right?
Yeah, I know who Cindy Sheehan is. I think... in fact, I know Cindy Sheehan. I think she was a thoughtful person. I think she was giving us food for thought.
Giving us food for thought? She basically called the guy a murderer. She basically said that Bush murdered her son.
I don't recall any of that, Phil. I'm saying to you, I recall a country that gave George Bush a great deal of support.
What about you, Don? I know you marched against the war in Washington.
I was with students who were taking part in a civics, essentially a civics project, and we marched there and in San Francisco, but it was good fun.
Are you telling me you supported the war in Iraq?
I supported the war in Iraq as far as you can support these things. I'm going to support President Obama. What I'm saying is...
As far as you can support these things, I don't know what that means. You know, what I'm hearing here is a lot of equivocation.
Well, that's the same thing as calling me a liar, and I don't like that at all.
Well, I'm not calling you... No, that is not the same thing. I'm not calling you a liar. I'm saying that you're using some pretty interesting logic and rationalization here, Don, going from George Bush's Hitler to all of a sudden we got to support President Obama.
I think it is within the American people's duty as citizens to support a president, the commander-in-chief, when he takes our young men and our young women and commits them to a military action. And, yes, I think it is up to us to stand behind that president. And
even though, as I said, we didn't do it for George Bush, but you're saying we did.
I think I did. I think a lot of people did, yeah.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to, this is John in Hayward. Go ahead, John.
Yes, I remember people like this gentleman back in the late 60s, early 70s, the SDS, where they would harangue against anybody like the conservatives but go for the liberals. I must talk about the president.
I don't know what. What do you mean, the SDS?
Okay, just be quiet and listen to me, please. When I'm finished talking, that'll be your turn.
It's like me calling you an ape. Why would I call you an ape? I wouldn't want to call you that. You just called me a name.
No, he didn't. He said that you were similar
to
the SDS.
Now listen and be quiet. Let me finish my top sentence. I didn't interrupt you. Now don't interrupt me, sir.
But you came on and called me an ape.
No, he did not. He called you he reminded you of the SDS.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, that's his opinion. Go ahead, sir.
All right. The American, the United States of America has never been a hold-back country. The entire world looks to the United States in any major situation to see what the United States will do. Now, when the president came out and said that Muammar Gaddafi should leave office and did absolutely nothing, then we... fell back. We are leaders. We are not followers. So for the president has shown absolutely no leadership on this, and we have no reason to believe him.
Mr. Mixa, you are making noises into the phone.
Well, I just think it's very unfair that he gets to call me a name.
Will you please let the guy talk? I can't hear what he's saying while you're exhaling and going, oh, God, and behaving, to be honest with you, like a teenager.
Well, let me tell you something.
I think
both of you guys are acting like jerks. The guy whose show this is, it seems like you bring on idiots like this guy and the guy and the guy before you, and all you do is argue back and forth. This is ridiculous.
Of course. Well, that's what you do. You argue.
No, but
to make these points
sensibly, you don't bring on people who have basically no credible. No credibility. This man has no credibility.
Well, the last gentleman that we had on was a Chinese guy.
The gentleman before him didn't have any either.
Well, he was talking about Chinese restaurants.
Right, but
I agree with the man. I heard the interviewer, and it was ridiculous.
I'm talking to this guy right now.
So
he was talking about Chinese restaurants.
The gentleman from Washington should go back to high school and learn civics and U.S. history. He obviously has chosen not to look at U.S. history.
Well, how do you like this guy, Phil? I guess he's not a conservative.
I don't care what he is. He's got it all wrong. I bring people on here to point out how ridiculous they are. If you think this world is full of bright people, sir, let me tell you what. You know, most of the people that we're hearing from that are controlling policy and that are controlling our country have the brain power of that Chinese guy we had and this guy.
Okay, so
I'll agree with you. I agree with you 100%
okay,
on that.
Then we might as well have to deal with them, you know.
You just slammed me. You compare me to that idiot.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Out. We should
vote all
of them out.
What this guy in Hayward is saying is he's saying that I'm an idiot. And that's all he's saying. He didn't bring out any other points.
Oh, yes, I did.
You know something?
You just chose not to listen to them.
Because I felt that I was being treated unfairly.
Yeah, I got that already. I got that. John, thank you for your call. Well, go ahead. Finish your point.
Okay. My point was that the president took no leadership in this at the beginning. And that we should have no reason to follow him now because he's not a leader. Let's go with Hillary Clinton. She's led on this, not him.
All right, sir. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. What about that? What about Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State? She's done a great job.
Well, I think it's easy to say that Hillary Clinton this and Hillary Clinton that. I think Obama is the one that has directed policy here. I think Obama is the one that has directed this and steered this ship. into the very safe and secure harbor of American strength. And that last caller, Mr. Hendry, you heard what he said. He said that you were an idiot. You know that?
No, I know what he said. He doesn't understand my point of view, okay? Listen, this radio show engages people on all levels. On all levels. And that Chinese guy, you, I don't care who, anybody that is making noise that sounds like Swahili, if you'll pardon the expression.
How about Chinese?
All right. Then we take him on. Now you, with this attitude that let's get behind, you heard what that man said. Obama is not even someone people want to follow.
Well, they better start following because he's the commander-in-chief. See, that to me was treasonous, what that man said. Treason. And there's a book out called None Dare Call It Treason. Now, I know it's a book that, it's a ridiculous book.
It sure is.
But I like the title. I like the title, None Dare Call It Treason. And when that guy came on and said, that Obama, no one can, well, I forget.
Yeah, that's great, man. You know, all right, we'll be back, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, with Don Mixa, Obama, Commander-in-Chief, and a possible action in Libya. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here with Don Mixa from the University of Washington as we talk about the possibility of the United States joining with NATO and UN and other forces in imposing a no-fly zone first in Libya, and then possibly, if the ceasefire is not observed, possibly committing some kind of military resource there in consort with these other countries. If you look at our video cast right now, our Phil TV in HD video stream, you're looking at not only myself, but a CNN feed, which is showing at present pictures from Japan, but they were and will continue, I'm sure, to have some images from Libya. Don, you and I are going around and around and around here, and I understand. You know, on the one hand, you know, you want to have support for President Obama if our military goes to war. I want to do that. I want to support our military. I would never have our military go anywhere and not be in support of it unless I thought it was just absolutely the most ridiculous, asinine thing in the world. And I ain't seen that lately, not since Vietnam, okay?
Well, I beg to differ. I mean, the adventure in Iraq...
All right, well, there you go. You're talking about let's support Obama, support Obama, support Obama, but you didn't want to give any support to Bush.
I told you, that's got nothing to do with anything. If I have to talk about Bush, and I see what it is you're trying to do, you're trying to get me to say that I was wrong, and I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to do it. And I really resent the fact...
So in other words, you see the logic in what I'm saying here. All right, fine. 877-876-PHIL.
No, I don't see the logic in what you're saying. I'm saying, look, President Obama is just trying to get a health care going. He's trying to get budget.
Yeah, I know. He wants the budget. He wants the NPR thing in Wisconsin, which has nothing to do with him. And we need to support him on all that stuff. And boy, if we just given Bush support, the same way you want Obama to have support...
I did support Bush. You wanted to believe that I didn't support Bush. I didn't support Bush in a lot of things, and maybe I didn't support it. But here's the thing. I don't want to talk about Bush right now. You keep bringing it back to Bush.
Right, and I will. 877-876-7445. Let's go to David on the Phil Hendry Show in Bakersfield. Go ahead, please.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I would just like to say that no, we do not need to support Obama and drop all opposition towards him in support of air drone strikes in Libya when France and the UN have already declared that they would take care of it. I think that we need to bow out of this one like France had bowed out of Afghanistan and Iraq. And no, we shouldn't drop opposition to Obama. Absolutely not. If we disagree with him going in, then we have the right to disagree. We have the right to protest, and that's the great thing about this country. And, I doubt we're going to get shot up for protesting against it, like those poor people in Libya.
Were you protesting against Bush?
Yeah, actually, I didn't agree with the Iraq war. And, I mean, I didn't think that we should go in there. But I support the military. You know, if we're going to send them in there, then I'll support them.
Well,
but
we're not going to. What do you mean you support the military, but you didn't agree with Bush? What's that mean? This is Obama. This is a liberal. You're a liberal,
it's,
right?
It's
all right, so Obama's a liberal president, and you need to support Obama because he's a liberal president.
That boosted more troops in Afghanistan. Nobel Peace Prize winner boosted more troops in Afghanistan. And
well, you just don't. You don't support anybody, do you? You don't like anybody, do you?
I don't like what?
You just want to be against everybody. You don't like anybody.
I'm sorry, you're mumbling in the phone.
Like,
all right, okay, thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL-RIGHT. I mean, I think it's my fault. I'm not going to the right side of this. Here is Stephen in San Francisco. Go ahead, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, Stephen.
Yeah, good evening. It's not unusual the liberals just keep talking in circles, and, you know, it gets very difficult to kind of nail them down on any issue to stick with it. But I guess two things. One is I'm curious if the professor is suggesting that we have a moral obligation to support Obama, which we absolutely do not have a moral obligation.
He's the president of the United States.
Hang on a second. Hang with me a minute.
We have a moral obligation to support our country, don't we?
Here's my point, Professor. I think you need to speak.
Well, you heard what
for yourself.
You heard what I was talking about. You said the thing.
Would you let the man finish?
I'm trying to make the point that if he heard what I was saying, that he'd have heard me say that morally we have to support this country in everything that we do.
But not Bush. You didn't want to support Bush.
I'm not talking about that.
Right. Go ahead. Go ahead, Steve.
Hang on a minute. So for the professor, if you have a point of view, you'd like to suggest that you have a moral obligation to support Obama, that's one point of view. But to suggest that we as Americans and conservatives have a moral obligation to support Obama, you're mistaken. And I think the second thing is I'd like to go back to what you said here, that you were distracted from making a point and what you agreed to come on to the show to talk about. I'd really like to hear your point of view because I think any way you position it, two things. One is I think it should be fact-based if you can stick with the facts and talk through those facts. And secondly, I think there's an opportunity there for us to get to the same endpoint that the host is trying to have a discussion
with. I think that I was distracted by the host's he was purposefully, Mr. Hendry was purposefully trying to confuse me. First he says we don't have a moral obligation that we do. And
no, I didn't say anything of the sort.
But excuse me, Mr. Hendry. He said that why didn't I support Bush, but now I'm supporting Obama. And
you refused to answer the question.
I did not refuse to answer the question.
You did. You said I don't want to talk about it, this and that, this and that, this and that. Now look, if Obama is going to commit our troops to some military action in Libya as a result of the United Nations or NATO agreement, then I'm there, but I'm there because I agree with him, not necessarily because he's the president. And you're saying because he's the president, we have to give them all of our support.
Well, now I've heard it all. So you two guys would leave. Now I've heard it all. So you two guys would leave our troops twisting in the breeze because you got a problem with Obama.
Absolutely not.
Wow.
We didn't say that at all.
Well, that's exactly what you said. That's exactly what this guy just said.
No,
this guy, the host, my name is Mr. Phil Hendry, okay?
All right, fine, Phil. But you said to me, we do not have a, you know, if you disagree with Obama. And
look, when I was a kid, I disagreed with the Vietnam War. I still do, as a matter of fact. But that doesn't necessarily mean I disrespected or hated the president, President Nixon or President Johnson, especially as I've gotten older.
Oh, get out of here. Nixon, you hated his guts. And you know.
What do you mean I hated his guts?
Everybody in your generation hated his guts.
Stephen, you had a point you wanted to make?
Well, I just think this is amazing.
Wow.
You'll go from one point and one topic and you'll make this broad, you know, you'll cast a broad net and a statement to something that Phil has said, which is absolutely not the case. Stick to, you know what I'd like to hear is what you agreed to come on and talk about. What is your point?
I agreed to come on and say that we need to stand behind President Obama as he's possibly going to commit some ground troops to Libya. Maybe not, but he may, and if he does. behind him 8,000,000%. And I'll just quote the Apocalypse Now, the movie. And I guess this will make Mr. Hendry sick. And yet, you know, as a conservative, I say we kill him pig after pig, cow after cow.
So you're suggesting a bipartisan
That's fine.
Approach. Bipartisan
a
support.
Bipartisan approach, kill them pig after pig, cow after cow.
He's quoting Apocalypse Now. He's quoting Colonel Kurtz. Listen, Stephen, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. How appropriate for you to quote Colonel Kurtz, who was mentally gone. He was deranged.
And then that's what you're saying about me.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, that's...
yeah, no, what?
Well, that's how you sound when you quote Colonel Kurtz, pig after pig, cow after cow. Libya?
Yes, Phil, seriously, you almost started sounding like a woman there.
Libya?
That's what it sounded like to me.
Fine, maybe that's what it did, but pig after pig, cow after cow, so get in there and slaughter them all, right?
If that's what our commander-in-chief wants.
Well, our commander-in-chief at one time was a guy by the name of George Bush, and he had to fight every kind of battle, tooth and nail, to get funding, to get the Congress to recognize the effects of the positive effects of the surge. It was General Petraeus who was called a liar. I mean, Bush is a war criminal. You know, this is amazing to me, man. Here is Adrian in Hawaii on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Adrian.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
So my main point I'd like to make is that, you know, I don't think the United States has the extra money right now to be jumping into any military invasions. I'm really upset about hearing about the U.S. being involved with the U.N., about possibly going in early to Libya. You know, we're still deeply involved with Iraq and Afghanistan. Our country is in economic turmoil as much as the media propaganda machine would like to say that we're rebounding.
Oh, it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad, huh?
It's having severe budget cuts. I mean, here in Hawaii,
unemployment's gone down. Yeah. Unemployment's gone down, and we've had...
in a few states, but I believe it's still soaring up there close to 10%.
No, it's down below 9. It's below 9.
Billions of dollars the Federal Reserve is printing out all this money. But, you know, we're on the edge of the dollar perhaps losing the world currency and not being the oil reserve.
They said that 10 years ago that the euro was going to take over, and it didn't.
People always want to panic, you know.
We're doing fine.
A good time to
we're doing fine.
Any military front where it's going to cost millions, perhaps billions more.
We're doing fine.
Okay, will you listen to the gentleman? We're doing fine. I'm listening to you here, Don. We're doing fine, and the euro...
It's true. I mean, the euro, they thought the euro was going to take over, and everybody was running around wetting their pants about that. Didn't happen.
Okay.
Yeah, now there's talk about a few different currencies. A few different countries have been having meetings, talking together about how they can make some kind of new currency reserve and get the dollar out of the situation.
Yeah, stab us in the back. Sure, stab us in the back. That's what they're always talking about. They're always going to talk about stabbing us in the back, and we have to be ready.
Boy, you know something, for a liberal who was opposed to George Bush's quote-unquote adventures, man, you are all about stab us in the back, and we got to be ready.
What's wrong with... I don't understand your point of view, Phil. President Obama sees that Gaddafi's got to be taken out, and he's got to be taken out now. And
President Obama, you're talking about Obama like he's Bush. All of a sudden, it was back with Bush, it was Saddam Hussein, now it's Gaddafi. And they're gonna stab us in the back, man. I'll tell you, the hypocrisy, God.
Don't get your undies in a bunch.
My underwear isn't in a bunch, man. Okay, my underwear is doing fine. Listen, now, Adrian, I got to take a break. I appreciate your call very much. Our number is 877-876 Phil. What do you mean? Don't get my undies in a bunch?
You're sitting there. You're getting a little bit hysterical over the historical imperative, or the inevitability, I should say, that it's going to be from time to time. Countries of the world are going to be looking at America like they want to stick it in us, break it off, you know, first turn it, then break it off, and stand and take one step back and laugh. And that's what they're doing now, and then they're always going to do that. They'll never beat us. They'll never beat us. We're the United States of America. Who in their right mind thinks they're going to take us down?
You know, Don, that all sounds well and good, man, but it takes more than bravado and big talk. And meanwhile... like the gentleman said from San Francisco, I don't know what in the hell it is you're talking about. If you want me to support President Obama with some kind of effort militarily in Libya. I agree more with the last gentleman. I think we have resources limited enough to support NATO, and I'm happy to do that, and support the UN. I'm happy to do that. I do not believe that we are in any lead capacity here. And besides, like one other caller made the point, it was it's France and England.
You know, you've got other callers making the point for you. I guess you don't have to do the show, huh? I mean, you've been bringing up...
They've been bringing up some good points. What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you've got other people. They might as well host the show for you. One caller said this, another caller said that, and hell, I'm Phil Hendry. I haven't said what...
I'm getting really, really uptight with that cat.
Take it easy, man. You only got one more segment.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll be back here with Don Mixa talking about the possibility of a United Nations effort or a NATO effort in Libya that may be involving the United States. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. God, man.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, that guy's really making me mad.
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don Mixa from the University of Washington with us. You know, during the break, Don, I said to my producer, Jason Rantz, I said, you know, you are tonight extremely insulting and vituperative and obstructive, and I don't know what the situation is.
And I also heard you say to him that you thought I'd had a few drinks, which I thought was insulting.
Well, I've talked to you many times, and you sound to me like a guy that doesn't want to stick to the point. You're evading. I think you got yourself in too deep with this argument.
I'm not in too deep with anything. I'm not in too deep with anything. I don't understand why you can't, why it doesn't seem to add up to you that as an American citizen, of course I would support the commander-in-chief in his efforts. And
you don't see, for instance, the logic in what some people have said. Do we have the money to be involved in a full-scale, a new full-scale military adventure? I mean, how far do you want to go with this? Why is Obama the one that's taking the lead in this? You don't see any sense in any of that, huh?
I thought people wanted the United States to take a lead in the world.
No, you guys, the progressives did. Okay, I didn't think that our country was doing poorly at all. I don't give a damn personally what the world thinks of us. It just isn't my thing. Here is Justin in Roanoke, Virginia. Hold on for a second, Justin. I want to flip phones here. Justin, okay, go ahead. Sure. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa. Yes, sir.
Oh, hi, guys. How are y'all doing tonight?
How you doing? Good.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the fact of backing up our president and our current situation that we're in. I'm a conservative. I've only been a conservative for a few years now. I was kind of a liberal, but then I started to get my facts a little straight. But then, of course, everybody's opinion hits their beliefs and the facts that they follow, but I just wanted to comment that I don't really support what he's doing as far as the health care bill or certain other aspects of his presidency, excuse me, and just because that I don't support some of the things that he has chosen to do does not mean I disrespect the president at all. It means I definitely, you know, he's a man of power, he's the man in charge of our country. I respect him.
Your actions do not say that. Your actions are saying, "Well, I support him," but in point of fact, I don't. You know, this is what I mean, Phil and Justin. If you're going to support the president, you have to support him. You know,
right.
Well,
I
don't understand why.
I just want to make a quick analogy. I mean, sometimes my friends do things, and you know, right. I don't agree with what they do, but they're still my friends. You know, I don't hate them at all. Sometimes we just have to agree to disagree on certain issues. But when these certain things affect the nation and certain people, you know, it kind of gets a little bit hairy and sticky. So, I mean, I know they're sensitive subjects.
That's right. I mean, you've got to support the president. And if you are you? You know, you're not.
Well, wait a minute. Well, he's saying that in some things he supports the president, some things he doesn't.
Well, I think the gentleman is capable of speaking for himself. What exactly do you support, Justin? You say you support the president, but so far you haven't told me anything you support about him. You just support him? That's like saying, I support you, but I can't give you this canteen of water, even though you're dying of thirst. But I do support you.
What?
What?
I think Well, Justin,
sorry,
this is Phil. Archie, what you're saying is you're saying you support the president in some of his issues and not others. Would that be a fair way of saying it?
Well, of course. I mean, he's working his best to help out the deficit issue. I mean, I know we've gone from, 9% with job rates false. I think he's got 0.1% back on track. So, I mean, that's a little bit of progress. It might not be much, but it shows that he is doing something in his, in his candidacy supporting the nation and providing jobs. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
So you do support
I support
him.
That.
So you would support him to invade Libya? You want to invade Libya, right?
I support him to invade... No, I mean, they have...
He's saying that he thinks that Bush, that Obama...
Why don't we let the guy talk for himself, Phil? You've been butting in.
Can you please repeat the question? It's really hard to distinguish
Obama,
your voice, sir.
You support Bush and the Obama, don't you?
Excuse me?
You support Bush.
Look, I never supported Bush. I voted for him. I felt dumb for voting for him because of his candidacy. He did a lot of things that...
No, you should have voted. That was a way smarter vote to cast than one for Obama. Way smarter.
I mean, look, I was picking between Bush.
Look,
excuse me. Can I please finish? Can you please be polite and not interrupt me?
Between the two guys, man, I'm telling you, Bush. A vote for Bush was way smarter than a vote for Obama. I think we've all figured that one out.
Well, of course. I understand that. Look,
all right. What point did you want to make, Justin? Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Justin. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that Bush messed up a lot, I really believe that
Obama
was a continuation of what Bush kind of messed up.
No, I think Bush was way better than Obama. Bush at least knew exactly where he was going. President Obama, with all due respect, President Obama, he's just trying to not be Bush.
Yeah, that's smart.
That's dumb.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
No, I've been assured that any nuclear release dissipates by the time it gets.
And the backers of this bill said to me yesterday, the taxpayers.
Wednesday is the third day of the week. The day before Tuesday, the day before Thursday.
Jing Chong Ling Long Ting Tong.
Yeah, world famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other shows can't go, other talk shows can't go, that's for damn sure. Welcome to our show here in the final hour of the final night of this week, and we have coming up this hour our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Tomorrow night we will be on locally in Los Angeles on KFI AM 640, but everybody... You can all join us on our video cast or the podcast over at KFI. And Monday through Friday, of course, on a great, great network of great stations here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Internet sensation Rebecca Black claims she's been cyberbullied because of the nasty criticism she's getting. Plus, the New York Times Online will start charging for articles. Is it a good move or an epic fail waiting to happen? We'll find out about that this hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And,
what do you think about the gays?
What do I think about the gays? That's not what this is about, bud. Apple under fire for approving gay cure iPhone app from Exodus International. Now, we just had a very interesting,
what do they call it?
It's an app. It's an iPhone application. Like all the buttons, right?
Yeah.
And this one is a quote-unquote gay cure. It's got to be some kind of a jive-ass joke. Nonetheless, we were discussing before the break just exactly what do we approve of when it comes to the free marketplace, you know. Would I, as a conservative, and I am a conservative, and I do believe in a free marketplace, I also believe in laws that protect children. So that impinges on the free marketplace a little bit, doesn't it? I believe in laws that protect against slander and libel. So that impedes on the free marketplace, doesn't it? Now, Thomas Jefferson, because there's a lot of discussion about Thomas Jefferson. Everybody thinks they know all about Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson believed and expressed on more than one occasion, if you allow for the truth to circulate in a free society, then the truth will out. The truth will finally come to the fore. Jefferson was not an early believer in civil lawsuits for libel and for slander. He didn't want to see that happen in America. He felt that that was the beginning of impinging on free speech. Until, of course, people started calling him a douchebag.
That's what they called Thomas Jefferson?
Well, not that, but I mean something, you know.
I wonder what they call a douchebag in that time.
We could probably look it up. I mean, there's probably some pretty choice things, and probably some of those things have survived to this day, and I think you know what I mean.
Oh, you mean like the F word?
Yeah, probably the F word. But the point that I'm making here, Bud, is that President Jefferson, then Secretary of State, then Governor, whatever the hell he was, private citizen Jefferson fell. Well, you know, that kind of, I don't know if I'm crazy about that, but we did eventually adopt, as other countries have had and continue to have, laws against libel, laws against slander. Then there was the alien and sedition laws, and that happened during this so-called, not phony war, but it was kind of a, you know, a build-up to a possible war with France that President Adams passed or signed into law, these alien sedition laws. We were afraid of people trying to destabilize our very, very young government. It was a very new country, America. It was just a few years old. And already we had the French trying to muck around with us. We had this guy, Citizen Genet. This slob comes over here, and he says to George Washington, of all people, well, guess what, pal? You say what you want to say. I'm going to go out there into the interior of your country, and I'll talk directly to the American people myself, and we'll see what they have to say about whether they want to support the revolution in France. And Washington's like, don't do it. Don't do it, man, because I'll kick your ass out of this country, which is what he did do. So we've always had this tussle from the very beginning. What is free speech? What isn't? Now, Apple is under fire for approving a controversial iPhone app created by a religious organization that seeks to help gay individuals become heterosexual. The application, Exodus International, was created by a ministry of the same name that says its mission is to, quote, mobilize the body of Christ to minister grace and truth to a world impacted by homosexuality. The app's description notes, With over 35 years of ministry experience, Exodus is committed to encouraging, educating, and equipping the body of Christ to address the issue of homosexuality with grace and truth. It received a 4 rating from Apple, which indicates the company considered the app to contain no objectionable material. Yet many disagree with Apple's assessment and are demanding that it be removed. No objectionable content, we beg to differ, wrote TruthWinsOut.com. Exodus's message, its very message, is hateful and bigoted. There are those who believe that if you say you can be cured of homosexuality, your message is hateful. And that may well be true. I believe that if there is a market for this kind of thing, quite possibly you should consider the fact that it be allowed to continue as a part of Apple's overall offerings. But you're playing a real dangerous game, man. You're playing a real dangerous game. Because I'm telling you right now, and I speak as a conservative and a believer in the Constitution and a believer in the freedoms of people and the Bill of Rights, I don't see where it is written anywhere that I have the right, that it is my God-given right and it is my business right to continually and for profit run down, slander, insult, or otherwise denigrate a segment of the population. If that's the case, then why don't I get myself an app that says, guaranteed to lighten the skin of all you black folks.
You got one like that? Because I think Robert wants it. Shut up, man.
All right, come on. Come on.
You do that on purpose.
He's kidding.
Gotta get a skin lightener.
Get out of there. Come on. Look at this. Look what you did to my news.
I don't, man.
Take it easy. You know he's kidding. Or how about if they had a, how about this? Is this good? If there's an app out there that instead of having to go out and buy all kinds of stuff, there's a new Apple iPhone app that guarantees you could straighten their hair. Black folks, get your hair straightened. Oh, don't be silly, Phil. Silly? What do you mean silly? Do you understand that those products at one time existed? Hair straightener and skin lightener. We had it. We had those products. They were being sold in stores, over the counter. People bought them. You know, the surgery they had for Asian women, you know, if you ever saw that movie Sayonara, they had a whole big deal about that. But Asian women in Japan, especially after World War II, Asian women who were marrying American servicemen, they were getting their eyes fixed so they didn't have Asian eyes. They were opening the lids. They were making their eyes more European. Oh, yeah.
They don't have an iPhone app for that, do they?
Now, what do you think, you idiot?
What are you talking about, man, an iPhone app?
I don't know. An iPhone app.
Well, it could be EYE app.
Shut up. That is pretty funny, though.
Yeah, let me write that down.
Good. All right, so change.org has launched an online petition calling for Apple to remove the app that has garnered over 21,000 signatures. Here's my feeling about this. Go ahead, sell it. Go ahead. See how you feel. How does it make you feel? Go ahead, sell it. You know, just like they sold hair straightener, just like they sold skin lightener, just like they advertised how you could get your eyes fixed if you were Asian. You could make them more round and more European-like. And, I hate to be insulting, but for white guys, they used to advertise penis enlargement. You know.
Shut up! You think you're so special?
All right. You know, so there isn't a race, there isn't a gender, an orientation, there isn't a kind of human being on the face of this earth that they don't have some app for sooner or later. So if Apple wishes, and you know, Apple is run by some pretty hip people, and they're, I dare say they are probably liberal politically. I dare say. So I think that once they get to thinking about some of these things, I don't know. I mean, how much does it cost? Is it free?
I'll have to download it and find out, man. Maybe Jason knows.
Rance, have you got an iPhone? No, you don't. Oh, you know what, dude? I got an iPhone, but I don't have it with me right now. It's a free app. It's a free app. So who do you think is going to download something like this? Well, a straight guy isn't going to download it. Not any straight guy that's, you know, actually knows that he's straight.
Yeah, you will.
I may because of what I do for a living, okay?
Not because you think you're gay.
No, not because I think I'm gay. Why, is that why you're going
to
do it?
No, man, I'm going to read it too.
I'll download it to see what it is. And then the only other people that would download that would be gay men or women who believe that they can be cured, so-called cured of the problem. And this is not a medical cure. This is a religious thing. So we already are in a realm of it's no longer psychology, it's no longer medicine. Now it's religious, man. It's almost like it's an exorcism, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. Why I think it's just a lot of this stuff is just spookier and kookier and further out than anything it wants to cure. You know what I'm saying? So it's a free app. So we'll see, man. Jeff Buchanan is a spokesperson for Exodus International. He's asked by the Christian Broadcast Network to explain why he thinks the app is being targeted for removal from the Apple iPhone store.
Primarily, it just really represents the lack of tolerance and lack of true diversity that exists within various aspects of our culture. There are a lot of misconceptions about who we are and what our message is, and those misconceptions continue to be reiterated. And what we're wanting is simply the right and the opportunity to be able to have a diverse voice or have an equal representation on the iTunes platform and within Apple to represent our message of a biblical worldview of sexuality.
Buchanan is asked to respond to the charges that Exodus International is bigoted.
A lot of those people have been fed misinformation about our organization and who we are, and I really believe that they don't really have a full understanding about Exodus and what we represent. And, of course, every one of those allegations and every one of those statements are not true. We love those who struggle with same-sex attractions or who are gay, and we're simply wanting to communicate the message of Jesus and the message of Christ to them and help the churches become equipped in order to know how to redemptively respond to this issue.
And finally, Buchanan explains that while some of the reaction to the app has been negative, he's also gotten some great feedback from what he calls former homosexuals that he's helped convince to be straight.
We've gotten a lot of negative feedback on the iTunes site and, of course, with Change.org, but we've also gotten a lot of positive feedback and a lot of testimonies of people whose lives have been changed by Exodus International and by the ministries that they represent. So the feedback has been very diverse in that sense, but a lot of the feedback that we have gotten from those who support us has been very positive.
All right, I'm only going to say one thing, and then we're going to go to a break. And I honest to God, I don't mean to be insulting, and I don't mean to, I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but I'm going to tell you this right now. Now, you know as well as I do that when you listen to this man's voice,
primarily, it just really represents the lack of...
The first thing you're thinking is what?
He's gay.
Gay. I understand that not all gay men sound that way. I understand that. But every single one of these Christian preachers that claims to have a cure for gay, guess what they all sound like?
Primarily, it just really represents...
That's it!
What do you say, all in the closet?
All in the closet? You got issues, brother. You got some issues, man. All right, coming up, the House votes to defund NPR. But was it just symbolic, or can it pass the Senate? 877-876-PHIL, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. And remember,
radio, for Patriots, really by Patriots, yeah. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hey, welcome back. Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. If you're watching our live streaming video tonight on our Phil TV in HD, behind me here and to the left, we have a split-screen Rebecca Black's Friday video. What do you think, bud?
I think she's pretty cute and everything. I don't know, people don't like it.
Well, you can at least, we can't hear the music because I don't want to have the music drowning me out, but the video itself is kind of funny. The only thing about this whole Rebecca Black so-called controversy is I'm a little disturbed by the number of adults that are slamming her. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Well, this is some, she's a kid, she's a teenager. Well, how old is Rebecca Black? She's 15. But even if she wasn't, she's representing a world of young people, young teenage kids, girls. And she's singing a song about Friday and having a good time and partying. And everybody is dumping on the song because it sucks. Well, okay, it sucks. But then I'm a 58-year-old guy. I'm not supposed to like that song, right? And I don't know that a 45-year-old woman is supposed to like it, or a 35-year-old man, or even a 30-year-old woman, or even a 25. You know what I mean? I don't think the song is for us. Okay?
Yeah, but it still blows. You got to admit about that.
Well, what do you mean it blows, man? I mean, would I buy it? No. Does that mean it blows? I don't have such an ego, man, that my taste in music, I don't know what a kid wants to hear. I mean, you know, long ago, man, I stopped figuring I knew what it was that kids wanted to hear. I mean, you know, when my kids went up to San Francisco to hear some Japanese composer because he did the music for their video games, I figured that's it. I have completely lost touch with today's ute. Man, I don't know, you know.
What the hell are you talking about? They went up and did what?
They went up to San Francisco to see a concert by some dude that writes video game music. He's a Japanese composer. And when they got up to the auditorium, it was in San Francisco, and the kids went on a road trip, okay? And when they got up there, they said the whole place was sold out, and it was nothing but 16, 17, and 18-year-old kids. So what the hell do I know, right?
Man, I never heard nothing like that.
No, neither have I. So here comes Rebecca Black. I'm a little disturbed. I'm way more disturbed by the number of adults who are out in the open, really upset with her, or don't like her, or dump on her, or call her fat, or say she has a... I think it's very weird. Very weird.
Well, I mean, she is fat.
Yeah, but she's a kid, man. Do you understand what I'm saying, Robert? When you start ripping on a kid... Here, I'll play it again.
Play it again, man. I'll see how fat her butt is.
Well, then maybe I won't play it again.
No, come on.
How fat her butt is. Get out of here, man. I want to see this. All right. Where is it? Replay. Boom. I just think it's really strange that the people investing energy and they're investing time and energy into hating on this chick. So here is ABC News' Andrea Canning. She confronts Rebecca Black with some of the nasty online comments about Friday to get a reaction.
Her song Friday is the worst song I've ever heard in my entire life. Even deaf people are complaining.
Okay. It doesn't bother me.
Oh, this kid's 13. Excuse me, I'm going to do this again. She's 13.
Her song Friday is the worst song I've ever heard in my entire life. Even deaf people are complaining.
Okay. It doesn't bother me.
It's going to be stuck in my head for life.
I think that's an accomplishment, you know? Even a person that doesn't like it, it's going to be stuck in their head. So that's the point of it. It's a catchy song.
What's the meanest thing you've read?
I hope you cut yourself, and I hope you get an eating disorder so you'll look pretty.
Wow.
And I hope you go cut and die.
That's jealousy.
When I first saw all these nasty comments, I did cry. I felt like this was my fault, and I shouldn't have done this, and this is all because of me. And now I don't feel that way.
No, they're jealous of you, kid. They're jealous. They want to be you so bad. Here is, now she's accused of being auto-tuned within an inch of her life, indicating she can't sing in tune, so ABC News asked her to sing for them.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light?
Do you think you're a good singer?
I think I have talent.
Do you think you're a good reporter?
I don't think I'm the worst singer, but I don't think I'm the best singer.
God, what a stupid question. And the kid can sing. Here, sing on demand. For 13, man, she did a pretty good job there. Black's mother, Georgina, reacts to the nasty comments aimed at her daughter. Thank you very much. Now, the next one. No, here it is. Come on, spit it out.
In all honesty, I probably could have killed a few people.
Yeah.
But that's why you get me nowhere. You know, I mean, it makes you angry. It makes you upset.
All right, and then we have here, well, here's some music. Yeah!
Fun, 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 fun. Looking forward to the weekend. Thursday was Thursday, Thursday. Today, yeah, it's Friday, Friday. We so excited. We so excited. We gonna have a ball today. Tomorrow is Saturday and Sunday.
Phil Hendry.
Woo!
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Yeah, that's the one there, right?
No, that's James Brown.
No, that's the one I just heard right there. That's Rebecca Black.
That's James Brown.
That's James Brown?
Yes.
When I was listening to some guy, get up, get on the scene. That was James Brown.
Well, I didn't hear that, but yes, that was James Brown.
What were you just listening to?
James Brown. Bring it in the show.
That ain't Rebecca Black.
Not the last time I checked, man. James Brown ain't Rebecca Black, no.
All right. Trying to figure out. Sounded like a chick to me. Where is the...
That's a wonderful thing. Good thing James Brown isn't still alive to hear that. Sounded like a chick to me.
Well, Bill, I'm on a phone line here. I'm driving. I'm halfway between Malibu and my house. I don't know what I'm listening to. But I wanted to hear the Rebecca Black because I thought what you were doing was good. What that does is it draws in the younger demos.
Oh, come on, will you?
What?
That's not going to get any teens to listen to talk radio. Are you nuts?
What are you talking about? What do you think about breaking my rear end for every day?
To get teens? You ain't going to get no teens, man. This is talk radio. Talk radio doesn't draw teenagers.
Oh, is that right? Talk radio doesn't draw any teenagers. You just heard Bud, who's 19... And one of your workers, yes, but he's very much interested in that Rebecca Black. And what did you say, Bud?
What did her butt look like?
Really? Well, let me just tell you guys something.
No, hold on.
No, let me tell you something. She's 13.
But, uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What?
That's a 13-year-old kid.
13-year-old kid.
It's... What? Did you hear me?
That girl's 13.
13! So we won't have any discussions of that, and we won't have any talk, nothing having to do with any of that. Here, I got this song for you, okay? So you feel better about it? Oh, wait a minute, where is it? Here it is. Is this it?
I don't want to hear that. She's 13. I don't want any part of it.
Oh, so in other words...
Turn it off! Turn it off! Turn it off! Turn the music! Oh, thank you.
What's he going crazy for?
I don't know. Oh, man, what a madhouse. What a madhouse. Anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You know, one of these days we're just going to we're going to stop giving a phone number. I mean, we give the phone number during our guest features, but during our news hour. And I was telling you guys about, you know how in radio they used to do time checks?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, probably you don't remember, but back in the day, we used to do time checks. And what is a time check? Giving the time.
Yeah.
And this was a part of our training from my very first days in radio. And I would say up until 1994, I gave the time in every radio show that I ever did. Phil Hendry Show here, it's, you know, like right now, I'd say Phil Hendry Show, it's 26 minutes away from...
No, it says 36.
I mean, it's 24 minutes away from midnight is what I'd say here on the West Coast.
You'd say that?
I don't know what I'd say now, but when I got to Miami, we had a program director there, and he said, you know what, you might as well not give the time, man. Nobody's listening to the radio for the time. We've got watches, we have clocks in cars now, we have digital this and analog that, we've got all kinds of time checks, we've got all kinds of time pieces to tell us the time. And it took me about a month to break myself of the habit of saying the time.
Yeah, because it was like a crutch, right?
Yeah, it was. It was like a crutch, Robert.
What do you mean a crutch?
It's like a crutch if I don't have anything to say. Oh, and Annie, right now it's 24 minutes away from midnight. Well, the same thing with phone numbers when you do a talk show. You can give the phone numbers out, but there's no real need for me to give the phone numbers out during our news hour because we don't really take phone calls unless there's some compelling reason. You know, unless, for instance, there was some major news story and we needed to take some phone calls because there was all this critical mass happening with the audience. But I just do it to get me from point A to point B. So I'm going to have to,
Gotta try to give yourself something to talk about. Why don't you say, like, the word penis?
Now, why would I do that, you...
What?
Why would I do that?
It's just something to get your mind off it.
Well, I can think of... It's, you know what, man?
Don't spit on me.
Well, you got me thinking like you really need to be in a straitjacket.
What do you mean by that? Well, instead of giving out the time, you could say, Phil Hendry Show here, penis. Now, here's the New York Times, see?
Yeah, that's great. That's great, bud. Do you ever think about the stuff you talk about, man?
What?
Hi, Phil Hendry here, and where I do the time check, I'd say the word penis.
Yeah.
All right, the Phil Hendry Show here, and, radio for Patriots by Patriots, penis. Now, the New York Times announces digital subscription plan.
Perfect.
It ain't going to happen, bud. I'll just say Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots.
That's what I was going to suggest, man. It's just as good. It's even better.
Oh, thank you. It's just as good, huh?
Well, no, I mean it's better.
New York Times announces digital subscription plan.
Penis. Get out of here.
New York Times announces digital... What?
Mr. Hall.
You lousy little...
I didn't say nothing.
What's that kid saying?
I got him to stop saying it.
You better get him to stop saying that. You know that they're dusting off the hot seat for me. Okay? First I got a 13-year-old singing songs at Bud's Kitten. All I want them to do is to stay away from me and my family.
Hang up on him, man, and don't take any more calls from him. He's flipping his lid.
Think the FCC coming for him.
Once again. Anyway, the New York Times introduced a plan on Thursday to begin charging its most frequent users of its website $15 for a four-week subscription in a bet, and this is the New York Times writing about itself, in a bet that readers will pay for news that they are accustomed to getting for free. Beginning on March the 28th, visitors to the NewYorkTimes.com will be able to read 20 articles a month without paying, a limit that company's executive said was intended to draw in subscription revenue from the most loyal readers while not driving away the casual visitors who make up the vast majority of the site's traffic. Hmm, I wonder how they're going to do this. Oh, if you want to read a lot of articles.
Yeah, if you're going to read more articles than, say, just one or two, then they're going to start to charge, but if you're going to read, like, one or something like that.
Okay. Once readers click on their 21st article, they'll have, there you go, they will have to pay the option of buying one of three digital news packages, $15 every 4 weeks for access to the website, and a mobile phone app for $195 a year, $20 for web access and an iPad app, $260 a year, or $35 for an all-access plan, $455 a year. All subscribers who take home delivery of the paper will have free and unlimited access across all Times digital platforms except, for now, e-readers like the Amazon Kindle and the Barnes & Noble Nook. Subscribers to the International Herald Tribune, which is the Times Global Edition, will also have free digital access. It sounds to me like they're trying to push their home delivery.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they're going to charge you and you have to buy that app?
Well, let me see what it says here. It says, if you want $15 every 4 weeks for access to the web and a mobile phone app, you have to buy both. Or you get the $20 for web access and an iPad app, and that's $260. I mean, each one of these three plans is three figures. I don't understand how they think they're going to get. I think what this means is they're trying to get people to get the at-home subscription.
Well, that means they're trying to discourage people from subscription.
Yes, that sounds like it to me. Well, it's not trying to discourage them, but they're saying, you know, if you really want to subscribe to this digitally, here's how much it's going to cost, but we'd much rather have you take the paper at home because, as I said, all subscribers who take home delivery of the paper will have free and unlimited access across all Times digital platforms except for readers, e-readers like the Amazon Kindle and the Barnes & Noble Nook. So if you are getting home delivery, you get boy, I don't know, man. I don't know.
No, you're not a subscription site.
We have a subscription site, but what we offer, and this is the difference, and this is what you got to have. I'm telling you right now, this is what you got to have if you're going to have a subscription site online. We have a subscription site online. And, for instance, right now, if people are bored with what I'm saying, they can watch this, What's-Her-Face, and she's going to do the song here.
Oh, man, not this again.
Sure. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Anna Lee at Butterflies. Get that out of here, bud.
I thought that was What's-Her-Face.
No, it ain't. So, for instance, we have a subscription site ourselves. And what you have to offer people is, you have to offer people something unique, something that they cannot get anywhere else. The kind of radio show that we do, people cannot get anywhere else. They can't get this thing anywhere else. It's impossible, and it isn't going to happen. I don't know. Why am I looking at this, man? Get rid of this, man. Get rid of it, bud.
Yeah, but I want to see it.
Get rid of it. I don't want to look at this. So, if you are going to get people subscribing to, I don't want to see the Rebecca Black video again. I'm going to belt somebody here in a five. Oh, here it is. Okay. I guess I do want to see it again. The point that I'm trying to make here while I'm getting this ridiculous thing up for everybody to see is that if you are going to charge a subscription fee for anything that you do online, what you're offering people has to be a pretty unique offering. Now, our radio show, Love It or Hate It, is a unique offering. It's a very weird thing to watch when you're watching it online. If you don't believe me, get a backstage pass and you will see.
Yeah, not to mention the fact you're always yelling, kicking people's ass.
Well, so you had to bring that up, huh?
Yeah, of course he was.
Had to bring that one up, didn't you?
Of course he got to bring it up.
Had to come out and tell everybody what a jackball I am off the air.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe they want to see it, maybe they won't want to see it. Not only looking at you doing your show is weird, but then when you're off the air, you're going from being Mr. Funny to all of a sudden you look like I want to slit your wrists. That's funny as hell to me, man.
Yeah, I'll bet it is, huh?
Yeah, it is pretty funny.
Oh, well, isn't that nice? I look like I'm going to slit my wrists. The fact is that that's what you got to have. So I don't know what the New York Times has got. What kind of unique product have they got, man? I mean, you can get that stuff that the New York Times reports on anywhere else.
Yeah, like where?
Like some place that steals stuff from the New York Times. So good luck. Good luck to you guys. Who knows? They may get it. They've got a model here, and they're not stupid at the New York Times, that's for sure. They've got a model, though, that I think is essentially saying, we're going to try to push the traffic in one direction or another. You know, get people to subscribe at home, which is our primary, which is what we think is our big money winner. And if not, then we can get them by way of these digital applications. But the New York Times is big enough, they can offer international reporting that other sites cannot offer. They have access to some of the biggest names. They have access to some of the biggest stories. I mean, they are the New York Times. So they still have that name, and that might do it for them. But other newspapers, the LA Times, would you pay for that? I wouldn't. You know,
I don't even read the LA Times.
I wouldn't pay for the LA Times. There was a time that I might. When I, and to tell you the truth, this is how sad it's gotten for the LA Times. When I was a kid, I used to read the LA Times. Obviously, everybody did. That was back in the day when the LA Times was, you know, people liked the LA Times. But now, when I walk into a Starbucks or I go into any place where they got stacks of newspapers, the first paper I grab is a New York Times, followed by a Wall Street Journal, followed by maybe, you know, like the Acorn from Westlake Village.
The hell is that?
I'll buy all that stuff before I get an LA Times because they just, man, they don't do it for me anymore. Sorry to have to say it, even though they follow me on Twitter.
I guess they've ended that.
Probably. World famous Phil Hendry Show coming back here in just a minute. Don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. Playgirl will pay top dollar for nude photos of Anderson Cooper. But guess what? They changed their mind. They did. Wait till you hear this story. Plus, Helen Thomas still hates Jews. That's surprising. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, and don't forget, tonight at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time will be our video cast, Phil TV and HD of our KFI radio show, our local show for Los Angeles, but you can join us at philhendryshow.com, but Monday through Friday right here on the Phil Hendry Show Radio Network, and we are very, very grateful for you being with us. And please visit our website and visit the store. We've got great best-of CDs. These are all in the original packages. The 2000 CD is autographed for you by me. The artwork, all the original artwork of these 97 through 2005 CDs. We have our Phil Hendry Show shot glasses coming soon. Something to get the day started. A beautiful latte coffee cup with the Phil Hendry Show logo on it, as well as, for the summertime, some beautiful beefy tees. I think they're beefy tee, man.
I'm not sure, but they're pretty high quality.
Phil Hendry Show t-shirt. So all of that ahead in our store. All right. Just before I get into the story on Playgirl, I want to play this one. What is this, man? Get that stuff out of here, man. That sounds very...
sort of hippie.
Very hippie. All right. Now, remember that this is a preacher who wants to cure gay people with an iPhone app. Here he is.
We've gotten a lot of negative feedback on the iTunes site and, of course, with change.org, but we've also gotten a lot of positive feedback and a lot of testimony.
Is that right? Jeez. Now, folks, I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be insulting, but, you know, when are you going to wake up and smell the coffee there, Ace? I can tell you right now that these gays, here he is.
Primarily, it just really represents the lack of tolerance. And
is that right, the lack of tolerance? Well, you ain't got nothing to figure out in your life, do you? All right, moving right along here, you know, we have a very interesting story here. After sleeping on it, Daniel Nardiccio of Playgirl apparently had a change of heart.
After sleeping on who?
On Anderson Cooper. I mean on it. What do you mean on who? I think it was on it. Apparently had a change of heart at the thought of some enterprising shutterbug harassing Anderson Cooper, the CNN anchor. Especially as he is tirelessly toiling in Japan, Cooper's rep declined to comment for the story. Now, Playgirl was thinking of getting some candid photo ops of, or photo apps, or some just photos of Anderson Kloopler. And they decided, you know what? What a bunch of cheap, cheesy, slimy, swirling slobs we are. Here's Anderson Cooper out there in Japan trying to report on one of the great human tragedies of this very young century. And, of course, there was another guy that influenced Nardicchio, and that was Jake Gyllenhaal. Now, Jake Gyllenhaal was literally standing at a urinal. You know Jake Gyllenhaal, the actor?
Yeah.
He was standing at a urinal, if you can believe this. And guess what happens while a guy's standing there trying to tap a kidney? Here comes some guy trying to take his picture.
You're kidding.
No, some Gyllenhaal. What did I say? Gyllenhaal? Gyllenhaal. And this dude's trying to get his picture to put in the magazine, whatever magazine he works for. So Gyllenhaal turns around and clocks the guy, and they get into a shoving match of some kind. And Daniel Nardicchio there of Playgirl said, boy, look at that. That is pretty, that's pretty low. And if you think about it, yes, it is. I mean, you got to get a guy's picture while he's trying to just take care of nature's calling. Come on. So Gyllenhaal, I don't blame him, turns around and takes a swing on this guy, and I think he connected. That happens, and then here comes Anderson Cooper. Now, Anderson Cooper is an icon, a gay icon increasingly, and Playgirl is a magazine read by gay men. So they wanted to get a picture of him. Well, the guy's over in Japan. He's doing all this, and he's doing the good work of trying to be a reporter for maybe the first time in his life. I'm kidding.
Well, you don't respect him at all, man.
He's okay. But nonetheless, he's over there, and he's working his ass off trying to get the job done. So this Nardicchio said, I gotta clean my act up a little bit here, man. First, we're trying to get pictures of a guy while he's taking a leak. Then we're going to try to get pictures of a guy nude while he's over there in Japan covering this horrific scene. So they changed their mind, and they lifted the bounty. There was a $10,000 bounty, if you want to call it. There was a $10,000 offer out to any freelancer who got a picture of Cooper, Anderson Cooper, nude.
Yeah, but he didn't, that was not necessarily they're going to take a picture. They wanted like any guy out there that had ever been in bed with him or some stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, you know, if it was some, in other words, yeah, he was trying to bribe some cat, any guy that had ever been with Anderson Cooper, trying to bribe him, and if not, some guy who's got a camera. But for some reason, the angels of our, how do they say that? The better angels of our nature, or the angels of our better nature, something, got a hold of this guy, man.
Yeah, got a hold of it and gave it a tug.
No doubt about that, but all right. Well, a world-famous Phil Hendry show concluding for this evening and this week. Thank you very much. Our producer is Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Rick Johnson. And our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Don't forget, coming up tonight at 7 o'clock is our KFI AM 640 show locally in Los Angeles. You can join us at philhendryshow.com for the live streaming video cast of that show, as well as the podcast over at KFI. And, of course, Monday through Friday here on our great network of radio stations, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Until tonight, this is Phil Hendry saying, forget it.
Phil Hendry.